The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Before we get into the episode, however, the station's having an episode.
Yes, we are. The AM tower is going through maintenance, but everyone who's listening, you can still find us on 96.5 FM or KCNR1460.com.
And there you have it.
Thanks.
Alex. Yeah. All righty. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
And we have two guests for you today, actually. Two interesting things that are not about the shutdown. What a nice break, huh? What a nice break. But let's see. Today is October 5th, and we are still voting no on Prop 50 if you live in California. And if you're confused about what Prop 50 is or you think it doesn't matter if you vote, please change your mind. I could send you to ShastaGOP.com, and you could see the maps and what your representation will look like, especially if you live in Northern California or any of the rural areas. They're basically planning to wipe out our representation and do that by violating the state constitution. They're trying to trick voters into helping them. So don't do that. Just say no on Prop 50.
Well, I like the representatives down in Southern California.
I want to be represented by Huffman over in Marin County.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to know what it's like to have an atheist for a congressman. Well. That would be terrific. And I'm not actually making that up. So, our guest for this part of the hour is Ann Vandersteel. Easy to say, except for me. Darn it. Co-founder of the American Made Foundation. She's the host of Steel Truth and is considered a thought leader and a trailblazer in new media. As the former president and co-host of Your Voice America, she's a popular conservative new media news and analysis show, and built her reputation as a trusted news source who respects the responsibility of delivering accurate news. What a great idea. And analysis with consistency.
Hmm.
And wow. Sounds like our kind of woman. So the documentary is Taken, State-Sanctioned Kidnapping. And we've titled the show based on her publicist information she sent to us, Parents Jailed for Kidnapping After Refusing Vaccines. What could go wrong, right?
Yeah.
So, Anne, not big fans of the forced vaccine thing here, so you are... You are kind of speaking to the choir, but, of course, there are other people listening, so please let them have it. I know we only have you for a short period of time.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, and good afternoon. You know, this is such an atrocious story, but we're making headway. And when you have to reach a point where parents in America are fighting just to be parents, you have to stop and ask yourself, wait a minute, has the government gone just a little too far? And frankly, this case that we featured in our documentary, Taken, State-Sanctioned Kidnapping, is about the Rivera family, beautiful family, seven folks, two parents, five children, and their youngest at the age of 9 months old back in February. They didn't want to vaccinate their child with it's not even a vaccine. They didn't want to give their nine-month-old a vitamin K shot. And a pediatrician who was born and educated in Tehran, Iran, saw it differently, and as a mandated reporter in the communist state of Massachusetts, the People's Republic of Massachusetts, he took it upon himself to call the State Department of Children and Families, report this horrific incident of denying their nine-month-old a vitamin K shot based on their religious rights as parents, and that is what sent an absolute, you know, spiraling out of control episode of constant harassment by DCF, law enforcement in the state, in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, whereby the family decided to move to Texas. And they were then pursued there, arrested when a warrant was issued over this, and brought extradited back to Massachusetts after doing a month in jail in Texas for
$2.5 million.
Yeah, they put both parents in prison for $2.5 million on bail each, and then extradited them back to Massachusetts. And guess what? It was found in court. This is going to just blow your mind. It was found in court 10 days ago that the mother, because they're trying them separately with different criminal charges, that the mother was not guilty of familial kidnapping, yet she still has not been given the children back, and nor did the judge at the time tell the DA to go ahead and indict DCF for wrongful kidnapping of their children. So this is the world in which we're living, and, you know, I sit here in Florida, and listen, it's no bed of roses anywhere. DCF, DPS, whatever you want to call it around the country, they're all getting federal money, and it's coming straight out of our tax dollars. That, you know, Child Protective Services and American Children and Families is a Social Security administrated Title IV-E funded program across all 50 states. So let's face it, we're still funding our gallows no matter how you slice it, and the destruction of the American families marches on to the beat of their own psychotic drum. And it's actually terrorizing. They're terrorizing parents and destroying families along the way.
Is there anything the federal government can do about that?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because what we're trying to do right now with American Made Action, our 501c4, is we've got our attorneys in the process right now of drawing up several lawsuits. We're looking at a couple of state lawsuits, one for each parent, and federal, because there is federal money that is tied into this. This state did cross state lines from Massachusetts to Texas. So you've got two different states engaged in the process, in wrongful kidnapping of the children. I imagine Texas will be none too happy when they learn that there wasn't a legal warrant justifying the arrest of the parents and the removal of the children. I'm sure Ken Paxton is going to have a sense of humor failure, or at least he should. This is, you know, he's running for Senate now, so he has a lot to ride here. But we've lawyered up, we're suing, we've put documentaries out, we've written a book about this, and we're educating the public as much as possible. Our foundation is paying to get this information out, because parents need to stand up, fight back, and we got to defund the agency that's creating this problem.
And when did this happen? Or when did this start?
This started back in February, when they really just started harassing the family. I did a social media post recently. It's about a 4-minute clip where they were in court 10 days ago with Ruth Encarnacion, the mother, and the CPS attorney went through date by date with the chief investigator, Ms. Guardado and Gerardo, and she agreed. She openly admitted that on about 11 different instances in less than 3 weeks' time, she was banging on the door and calling them, but never properly notified them on anything. And frankly, there is no law that says you must give your child a vitamin K shot. So this was really fabricated.
Vitamin K, what does it even do? Like, what?
You know,
I don't mean to be a dope, but I mean, do we get a vitamin K shot? I don't think any of us ever
did. Listen, I take vitamin D plus K because, you know, they're now blocking the sun on a regular basis, at least down here in Florida. It's insane what's going on with the weather and the spring and the skies, and our weather is completely a mess down here. But I don't want to go off on that tangent. What I'm telling you is vitamin K and vitamin D are really important for your bone health, your immune health.
Sure.
But there is, you know, let's just look at this. When you're born, unless you're born to a child, you know, a mother of a drug addiction problem, you know, you're born a healthy baby. This is what the whole vaccine industry is out of control. I mean, HIV shot that they want to give your child, right? This is something that's a sexually transmitted disease. Are you telling me that your child is having sex the minute it exits the womb, that you need to prevent some sort of sexually transmitted disease? This is just big pharma running amok, and I do say this much because I'm grateful for the great state of Florida in so many ways. We actually have a Surgeon General that gets it, and we've drawn that line in the sand, and we're not allowing the bureaucrats, unelected medical boards, or any non-governmental agency to have the final say when it comes to our child's health and well-being. And our own Surgeon General last month became the first state in the nation to move forward towards ending all childhood vaccine mandates. And this is Dr. Joe Latipo. He's fantastic. He's the one who was calling out the COVID shots back in, you know, back when.
Yeah.
So we have
like you can't go to public school. This was a baby.
This is a baby. A baby. Like, I mean, you know, and the pediatrician, here's the grossest part. You're going to be blown away at this one. Forget the fact they kidnapped the kids, but the pediatrician agreed that the 9-month-old was healthy. It was a great well-being visit. Yet, because he couldn't sell a vitamin K shot and get his paycheck for Big Pharma, he decided to use his mandated reporting authority and contact DCF, fill out a form, and now look at what's happened. The family has been absolutely destroyed, and now they're trying to pick up the pieces and put this family back together.
How many other kids do they have?
They have 5 in total. Oh, and they're all crying. They want to go home. They don't understand whether or not with mom and dad. They don't understand any of this. 10 and younger.
Wow.
10 years old and younger.
And they snatched all the kids.
All of them.
Because the baby couldn't get her, because the baby didn't get a vitamin K shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. This is the world in which we live. Hello. So, anybody see anything wrong with this?
No kidding. And then, okay, so go back to the part about how they went to Texas. So,
right. So the family got tired of the harassment. They were hiding in their home, and the police were banging on the door. DCF was banging on the door, and he had politely told them he'd sent a letter saying, you know, we respectfully decline when we're exercising our religious freedom to not give our child the vitamin K shot. I mean, they did this all lawfully. The family was lawful. There was no outstanding issues. There's no abuse. There's no drug problems. No, they didn't pay their taxes. It's nothing like that. It was literally a mandated pediatrician who started this ball rolling. And if you know anything about the system, these organizations, DCF, create a whole host because of that rich Title IV-E funding coming from the federal government. It creates a bunch of parasitic other organizations from, whether it's guardian ad litem, whether it is counselors, whether it's other pediatricians, other lawyers, you know, state-sponsored attorneys for DCF. It's a huge industry. It's an $80 billion a year cottage industry. So there's a lot of money on the table. And I just spoke to somebody yesterday. We're dropping a bomb here very soon. I'm waiting for the paperwork to come in. But, you know, this isn't even legally set up, let alone lawful. And 93.7% of the families that are in the DCF system in Massachusetts don't legally meet the threshold to have their children taken. To wit, the Rivera case I just documented for you.
Yes.
There is 93.7% of the children in the state don't legally meet the threshold. We're talking about almost 500,000 children a year, coast to coast, are in the system right now. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you about medical kidnapping after medical kidnapping case that make your hair stand on end.
What is the threshold?
Let's start with, how about real abuse? How about a child shows up to school with a broken arm and bruising all over the body?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Things like normal people would think would be abuse.
Yeah. And we're talking, again, this was we just went through COVID, right? And a lot of people didn't want to take the COVID shot. That's their choice. It was, mandates aren't laws. And we saw how many people got, in trouble in the military, or they lost their jobs in corporations. Because,
yeah,
again, a corporation is a withholding agent for the IRS, right? They collect your W-2, withhold your taxes. So they were, feeling the pressure. But, again, mandates don't equate to laws. And so people really need to get educated on this. And this is what our foundation is about, American Made Foundation. That is our 501c, the educational arm. That's why we create these documentaries, so people have a better handle on what's going on. And then our action arm, our C4, American Made Action, is giving people the tools to fight back. And this is why we are standing up and suing the state of Massachusetts, because we need to cut the head of the snake off. They've got far too many families in the system, not only there, but nationwide. Like I said, about 500,000 children are in this system right now. And again, most of them are not going to legally meet the threshold. And I just want to put this other idea. I live in a state where hurricanes hit us all the time. Natural disaster befalls us. You're in California. My goodness, you've had your fair share. So if that's, when these things happen, is FEMA the first one knocking on your door, or is your next door neighbor showing up, or an immediate family member down the street? It's always the latter. It's never the government entities that are there first. It's always neighbor helping neighbor. We have so much goodwill, so much charity in this country, that we can solve these issues for true families in distress, drug-addicted families. If the family members of those drug-addicted families aren't stepping in, neighbors typically do. I mean, I think we can all attest to somebody in our family or close friend that has been through some sort of crisis, or we helped them personally, or we knew people that did. We didn't have to bring the state involved. And that's what we're really working for. We work with other organizations, like America's Future has got a whole program for community-based parental support, for children who've been trafficked. These are all issues that can be handled and solved and remediated without federal or state intervention. And this is what we're really aiming for, because if you think back to how our country was founded, the state wasn't there to help you homestead. You had to go do it yourself. They're like, yeah, well, you can get out there, put a stake in the ground, we'll make sure it's yours.
Yeah.
You get your 20 acres.
Yeah.
That's what we're about. That's what we got to get back to.
Wow. I still can't get over the fact that they chased them to Texas. Just on this particular case, they chased them to Texas, and I'm not an attorney. I've stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, but you know, what the heck? You move to Texas, and then who arrests you? Like your local sheriff? They send what, warrants for you? For having violated the vitamin K laws of Massachusetts? That's crazy.
Think about it when right now we're challenged with trying to find a constitutional sheriff who will stand up for the people that elected and placed him or her there. They are very few and far between because they're on the payroll of the county. The county has been corporatized. They're getting, you know, federal dollars are trickling in. So we're no longer allowing our local municipalities and our counties to really be run and managed. And until we get back to that and we're not so beholden to the state federal funding, I mean, the federal government's out of control. Those bureaucracies should not have access to the money to spread it around the way they do because this is the industry they've created for themselves. And, you know, I've worked on pieces right now. We're in the middle of a massive IRS expose where we're proving that they're fabricating 1040s when you're not looking electronically and creating an electronic debit or a debt in your name. And then, you know, after 6 to 8 years, all of a sudden the United States Department of Justice comes down on you like a ton of bricks and, you know, goes after your assets and forces you into asset forfeiture. And it's theft. It's absolute theft. We've caught them. We have the documentation, the receipts. We've caught the attorneys in lies, the judges covering it all up. We have all the receipts. But again, we're still trying to figure out, well, to where do we go to get this whole thing shut down? You know, how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
So that requires Congress to get involved and shut it down. And we don't really have a Congress that wants to work with us now, do we? So, you know, this is really rolling into 2026 and the significance of that midterm and making sure we do not have machines in these elections. We have got to go to same-day voting, voter ID, paper ballots. Has to, if we want a temperature of who this country is. And I'm going to say this. If our country comes back socialist, communist, totalitarian, whatever, after paper ballot election, I will shut up and I will just go, that's fine. You guys want it? All right. You get what you get. But I know that's not true.
Yeah, I don't think that's true either. I don't think people really want those things. New York will be a tell, though. You know, are they just only covering the loud voices, or is that really something that people are looking at? I have a hard time believing that.
Why did they all end up in Florida during COVID? And I had to move out of my own little hometown I used to live in because it just got inundated with folks from New York and Connecticut. I didn't recognize my town anymore, so I moved further out into the country to get away from it.
Yeah,
it was so great. Why'd they leave?
It's kind of funny because we're in far northern California, the actual still free part. So in order to rein us in because we were bad during COVID and you know refoughts and wear masks and stuff. Not everybody, but...
Well, try to recall the governor, too.
Well, oh, yeah, there was that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember at one point, Bill and I were the only two people in the grocery store. This one night, we're the only two people in the grocery store not wearing a mask, and it was like... And, you know, to their credit, the grocery store didn't give us any crap. Shout out to Winco Foods. They never said a thing. Absolutely never said a thing. They will have my loyalty forever. Kind of a weird clientele, so it's, you know, it's a great place if you want to take those people of Walmart-ish photos. It's target-rich, but God bless them. They didn't get in anybody's face about, you know, not wearing the stupid mask, but the governor hates us, so and the legislature obviously is 100% Democrat. That's why we have Prop 50. They went and redrew the lines and created, they slurped us all in up here on the far northern end of the state with Sausalito. Like, okay. That's probably not going to be the best representation that we're going to have.
Are you guys doing stuff with Paul Preston?
We have not been. We don't really need 7 states or 4 or 16 or whatever it is he's doing these days. Because honestly, that means each one of those gets 2 senators, and those will all be Democrats. So we will explode the Democrat Party by doing that. So yeah.
Last time I talked to him, he was just doing the new state of California. I wasn't aware he was going into a lot more you know, subdivisions, if you will.
Yeah, it's like four. It's like four of them. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, if you look at their map, I don't know. There are people involved in that whole movement. I would have been still would be a fan of, like, the whole state of Jefferson idea where you do, like, a North Carolina, South Carolina, or a, you know, East and West Virginia type of an idea. You basically, you know, chop off the top part of the state and give the bottom part and don't make it all crazy. But, you know, that requires the legislature to get that ball rolling, and they have been unwilling to do that. So unwilling enough that they were willing to violate the state constitution using Texas as an excuse, because we all know that the only thing Trump had to do with the Texas redistricting was comment on it. They're required by a court to do it, but nobody even knows that. So, I mean, some people do, but it's frustrating. So, of course, it's to save democracy. And I'll tell you what, I hear that, and I just lights my hair on fire. It's a pet peeve.
I know. If I hear one more person call it a democracy, my head is going to explode.
Okay, you can add to that, because I work in natural resource policy a lot at the federal level, and you can add to that federal land. So every time you hear federal land, the buzzer should go off. It's public land. You own it.
That's
Stop calling it that.
But again, it's part of the whole, you know, indoctrination and brainwashing. They are so good at what they do in terms of just getting you to believe we're a democracy, because they just slip it in there and everybody says it. They're all mockingbird. They just all repeat it. And the next thing you know, in a generation, it's no longer a republic, it's a democracy. And we've been, you know, as a chorus of people on the conservative side, and everybody's smarter than the next one, so trying to hold hands and kumbaya and everybody get on the 4 a.m. talking points is next to impossible on our side. But if we don't set the ego aside and just do it, we are losing. I'm watching us lose our land. You know, last week in the Oval Office, seeing Borla in there, my head was, I couldn't hardly speak. I was so upset. I mean, it's been from the Charlie Kirk situation, then we lost our really good friend Boone Cutler, who worked with General Flynn, who's, you know, we're all very big supporters, and we work very closely with General Flynn on just trying to get America educated as to who we are, you know, and correct the disaster they've done in the last 30 years or 40 years under the Department of Education. I mean, it's really quite alarming what people think we are and what we really are and what we're not. And, you know, how far we are from what we really are supposed to be. We're just so way off the mark.
It's kind of funny because the Constitution is such a small document. I mean, just literally word-wise and volume-wise, it's very small. But I still run into people. I'm not from California. I've lived in all the bad places. Washington State, I grew up in Connecticut. It's like they implode, I move. So I guess I could be blamed. I mean, you could probably blame me for this. Maybe your Massachusetts guys are going to come after me for escaping California and bringing insanity to California. But I look at that, and there are people in this state who don't know that California has a state constitution.
They don't even
know that. I'm like, you realize Prop 50 violates the state constitution, right? And they're like,
what's that?
Yeah, they're like, well, why would that be in the Constitution? I'm like, it's in the state Constitution. We have our own, we have an additional Constitution. How's that? And they don't realize that we even have that. So, I mean, there's a real case to be made that there's some education required. It's funny because when you have to go, our next guest is a guy who wrote two textbooks. The title of it is Why Are Americans Ignorant of Our Own History? And his book. His
I have two words for you. Jimmy Carter.
Oh, man.
Well, I think you hit it on the head when you said Department of Education. They should have disbanded that a long time ago. That was a failed
experiment. We were getting that done. I thought that's what Linda McMahon was doing. Where are we with that? I don't know why that building has not been converted to a homeless shelter for veterans or homeless housing for veterans.
Yeah.
Forget a shelter.
Yeah.
Give it to them.
Yeah.
Give it to them.
It's all the, you know, nothing is ever simple because it's all got a million pieces, and some of the pieces actually hurt people if you get rid of them, so you got to find a spot for that piece. It's just, I don't know. You know, bigger is not always better, right?
No. I just want to go back to Article 1, Section 8. That's all we need. Let's go back to that. And once we, if we can achieve that, we will almost probably hit nirvana, because everything else can be sorted by private people.
Yeah.
Private organizations. It does not need to be this cluster that it is. It's disgusting.
Yeah. It just gets off the rails. Well, let's do some shameless promotion of your organization.
Okay, I love that. I love shameless promotion.
Yeah.
AmericanMadeFoundation.org is our nonprofit. We do a really good job with our documentaries and educating folks. Taken is front and center there. You can watch it. We've also got our other documentary, Ground Zero, North Carolina. I will be doing a follow-up on that because we exposed what FEMA was really doing. We exposed the National Defense Authorization Act, the land grabs, the natural resource grabs, and the abuse of the people, of which that's still very much ongoing. What's going on in North Carolina is an ongoing crime scene, and the federal government is front and center. Shocking, I know. And then, of course, American Made Action. If you want to take action, we've got a take action button. Go check out some of the things you can do to actually take action, to actually get your voice heard, because we are notifying Pam Bondi and the DOJ and local state representatives on a variety of issues on a regular basis. So go to AmericanMadeAction.org. And then, of course, any support is greatly appreciated. We are a small little organization, but we spread out very mightily. We've got some heavy hitters working with us on the United Law Coalition. We have about 1,000 attorneys and retired judges that we lean into it. Yeah. Yeah, and we're nationwide that way. And so when we need to take action, we lean into our organization and our relationships to do just a little damage here and there, but right, we're really looking to cut the heads of the snake of the agency government out, and we're going through CPS first. Children need to be saved and liberated, and of course the parents need to be liberated from the tax burden of the IRS. That's critical.
Yeah. Well, okay, so back on the vaccine thing, I receive calls from people all the time. Most recently was a woman whose son was getting ready to start. He's like 4, so I don't know if you go to kindergarten when you're 4 now. I'm a little out of that loop. But anyway, he was going to school, right, regular school, and they wanted him to have whole host of vaccines, and she wanted to spread them out rather than have these, a whole bunch of vaccines in one shot.
Right.
He has a bunch of allergies, and as she was reading through the ingredients, she's like, this is an anaphylaxis response that my son will have if he has this one, so he can't have this one. Oh, well, your kid can't go to school. Do you guys get involved in any of that, or is that state by state? Or?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're actually in the process of meeting with some folks that are in this Florida State Senate up in Tallahassee. We're getting ready to write legislation. We've also got another little bomb that we're going to drop that's going to basically prove that Department of Children and Families nationwide shouldn't even exist. There is no authorization for it to exist, period. But when it comes down to doing individual cases, we don't do individual cases. We look at it as how do we provide a solution statewide?
Sure.
We're not funded to take up everybody's case. I wish we were.
But do you have like a, is this, I was looking mostly, I mean, it would be great if you could take up everybody's case, but is there a resource for them that would help them defend themselves? Or do they really need to find an attorney?
No, and we are more than happy to connect them with resources to help them defend themselves. And again, like I said, on our Take Action website on AmericanMadeAction.org, you can find some of the resources you would need there in terms of, if you're looking for religious, something just went by me and it's
Something shiny went by the window. That never happens. I just want you to know that never happens.
Shiny object went by the window. Religious exemption. If you're looking for religious exemptions, things like that, that you can use to leverage in the school community. But again, we are focused on the legislative side of things, frankly, to end things like what you guys see happening in California, right? You've got your own situation brewing in California with some of the, mandatory school vaccines. And the elimination of the non-medical exemptions, I think it was Senate Bill 277, right? You guys passed that in 2015?
Yes.
Things like that. We are focused on trying to get legislation done and also some of the legislation undone. For instance, DCF in Florida, like DCF in Massachusetts, like DSS in North Carolina, and whatever the acronym is in every single state, they're all federally funded. And so when you have cases like the Rivera's, which show that federal money was used to track down and arrest a family, separate their children, and spend untold thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars with five kids in the system,
yeah,
plus the attorneys, et cetera, when you find out and can prove that that was done unlawfully and it had deleterious impacts, now you're talking about going after and saying, this is why this needs to be shut down. There is no, 94% of the cases in the state of Massachusetts don't lawfully belong in the system. So we have to do something about that, which means they need to, eliminate the program. It's doing far more harm than good. And so this is where we're talking about having an impact so that the individual cases, one by one, don't have to be addressed on a regular basis. You're not dealing with tens of thousands of these cases across the nation at any given time, which is costing millions and millions of dollars at any given time. We want to stop it and, bring these solutions back into the community. So this is the focus of our organization. And, when it comes, like I said, the onesie, twosies, individual cases, we can always point them to different entities that do that. We just do not.
Okay.
Because we got a stake in the ground and say, you know what, we're going to end the nightmare for these people by shutting down this agency. As opposed to, I see mom and dad over here with their kids being taken away. We have to get them attorneys and lawyer up in court. All we're doing is feeding the system. We want to end the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And tell me this, is the religious exemption still a... It seems like that kind of got cut off at the knees. Is that still a valid defense, if
That's
you will?
It is a very valid defense, but again, it's state by state. And, like I said, Florida has drawn a line in the sand. And the state here, our state, I can speak very intelligently on what's happening in our state. They said enough is enough. Parents, not the bureaucrats, not the unelected medical boards, and not the government agencies are actually now having their final say when it comes to the children's health and well-being. And we actually became the first state last month in the nation to move towards ending, like I said, all childhood vaccine mandates. So again, we stand firmly in medical exemptions, we stand firmly in religious exemptions, and now we're moving more towards the parents really have a choice, there is no mandate, so that we don't have to worry about little Johnny or little Peggy
sure.
in kindergarten or pre-K being all vaxxed up before they can walk into school. And at this point, the amount of vaccines they're wanting to pump in these kids is criminal. I mean, it's absolutely criminal. I think we all saw President Trump and RFK a couple of weeks ago during that press conference. It was an interesting press conference because RFK were well-polished and well-heeled with what they were saying. And President Trump was really allowed to sort of go all over the place. And while he did mention, Tylenol, to me that was the red herring. I kept hearing him slam Big Pharma about how many vaccines and how it's a big blob and you could take an elephant down with it. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think if Pfizer's listening to this, they're going to be happy. But then we saw Pfizer in the Oval last week. So, who really knows what's happening there? Is he trying to control Pfizer? Is he putting him over a barrel because they're now having to give their medicine and their pharmaceuticals at a much reduced cost rate, right? Yeah, right. But the other elephant in the room is we still haven't ended RNA. We've got to end those RNA jabs because the mRNA stuff is a very deadly platform. The data is coming out daily about how deadly it is. I have four family members who didn't listen to me. They took multiple vaccines, and I've got two serious turbo cancers. I've got a neurological issue, very severe, and I've got myocarditis that ended up in open heart surgery. So, and this is three of my brothers and sisters and my mother-in-law.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's, they're not out of the woods by any stretch of the means. One of them with the turbo has three metastatic cancers. Formerly lived in Tiburon, by the way. So not too far. Yeah. So, this is what we're dealing with. We have massive impacts around this country, and I'm not an unusual situation. I know a lot of people like me with family members that can listen. And,
well, it kept happening over and over and over and over, and I still hear people, I forget, where was I? A pharmacy or something? And, you want your flu shot and your COVID booster? And I'm like, hard pass on both. No, when I stopped getting the flu shot, 15 years ago, or it was kind of a long time ago, I did it like two or three times. And every single year, I was super sick. But I have a ton of allergies, and so I don't put things in there that I can't, you know, that I can't define. My doctor always laughs. He's like, he goes, you're old. You should get a shingles vaccine. He goes, but it's you, so it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I know. So at least he gets it. But they, they're constantly, you know, I quit getting the flu shot. I quit getting the flu. I mean, I'm not sick in the winter from anything other than, you know, asthma related stuff, but,
And you know what? You probably got the asthma from getting all the vaccines because it debilitated your immune system.
I don't know. In 1961, were we giving us a lot of vaccines? It was kind of a while ago. I don't know.
I don't know if we got that many back then, but. I don't know either. I don't know how many we got. I know I got a bunch in 67, and, you know, I was born in 67, so, yeah, I got a bunch.
It's funny because all my siblings, five of us in 7 years, my folks are pro-life Catholics, obviously, and my other siblings don't have all that stuff, but I do. I sort of got all that at the front end, so I think some of us are just, you know.
More prone.
Yeah, but, you know, I could have been born stupid, so. What a break.
Clearly not. Clearly not. You're hosting your own radio show. I don't think so.
Yeah, score. But, yeah, I've laughed about that for years. I'm like, well, you know, we all have choices. Got to have something. But I do think the religious exemption, people had great success with that on the vaccine front at the beginning, especially with the COVID deal. That was really where that kind of hit mainstream knowledge outside even just the parent groups. But I think that now they're really cracking down on that. It's like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that anymore. And that's what this lady found. And that's here in the county where I live. So
right.
I need to need to call her. I was excited to speak with you when I saw your Publius PR when they shot that out. I was like, oh, yes, we want to talk to her. And I thought, then I need to get some resources and call this lady back and give her a heads up. So,
no, I'm so glad you did, because, you know, this is such a big conversation, and every state is different. Every state has, you know, has a fiduciary duty to protect its citizens. And, you know, this here in Florida, we have legislation like Senate Bill 1722, right? This would stop Child Protective Services from launching investigations just because a parent's medical or religious choices don't match what the government prefers, which, frankly, the government should have absolutely no say in that. That's such an absurd thing on its face. But it is what we're dealing with, so you have to address it. Until we can rein it all in, you've got to stop it. And bills like Senate Bill 1288, those also demand full parental consent before schools or doctors can actually make any decisions about your child's body or psychological treatment. I mean, I know California has gone nuts. You guys now can have somebody claim to say, oh, I'm little Johnny's whatever, and take them out of school. It's just so absurd.
Well, that or, you know, decide that they're going to turn them into, you know, a raccoon or a girl whatever.
I'm not sure. Right.
So we're going to do all that. And so everybody can kind of do whatever they want, which obviously never works. I mean, that isn't something that works. So we'll have to obviously correct the course. And
this is what I love about Florida, because here, this isn't about for our state, which I really hope, you know, people listen to this and take it to heart. It's not about anti-vaccine. It's not even about anti-science.
No,
it's all
about
pro-parents.
Anti-parents. Yeah.
It's about turning you, making you pro-parent, pro-choice, pro-freedom. Because once the state can decide what's best for your child, that's not medicine anymore, folks. That's control. And nobody, nowhere, no how did God say in the Bible, or just, you know, the doctrine of life, that somebody else gets to control you. That's just anti-human.
Yeah.
And so we have got to get back to some serious common sense, true freedom. I don't think people know what it means to be free, because we've grown up in a government that, you know, regulates every aspect of our life. It's so much worse than it was 250 years ago when we threw a bunch of tea in the harbor.
Well, it blows my mind, though, the people who are very pro-freedom cracks me up. In the course of a conversation, they'll say, and I guess if I was going to pick the most common one, the government needs to do something about all these spam texts. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So, A, that would be really hard, because most of them come from outside the country, the really annoying ones that you can't stop. So they come from outside the country, but you do realize they would have to allow text to come to you, which means they would be filtering everything that's coming to you. Does that doesn't that kind of seem like a bad idea?
Yeah.
And, you know, so it does kind of blow my mind. People keep asking for more and more and more regulation. It's like, at some point, you know, this is not, that's not the fix.
It's not the fix.
Not the fix.
It's not the fix.
And bad things
definitely
will happen.
Not.
Well, Ann Vandersteel with American Made, I've got your state-sanctioned kidnapping video posted. I have your American Made Foundation up, and I have American Made Action links up on our site, so they can go click on all of those, read all the stuff, and we hope you will come on with us. I know we said a half hour, and we've shanghaied you for longer than a half hour, so we don't want to be rude about it.
No, you're great. I've enjoyed the conversation with you guys. They're fantastic, and God bless you. You're out there in California, the People's Republic thereof, and you are just swinging from all the vines and the trees. I love it.
Oh, yeah. You know, one time they did throw a rock through the window of the studio, but, you know, other than that, it's been relatively trouble-free.
Shiny objects and all.
Yeah, there was that. There was that. It was. We were talking about transgender, so, you know, leave it to history to decide if that was a connected event or not. But I know, right? We laughed too. We thought that was not pretty self-evident. We hope to have you on again, and we want to hear the rest of the case. How about that?
Yeah, we'll keep you posted.
Yes, please.
Because we're about to launch some pretty significant litigation efforts here.
Nice.
And I'm pretty sure they're not going to be happy with us, so maybe we'll get a couple of rocks to our window, but I'm not particularly bothered by it.
No.
Great.
We weren't either. It's been 15 years, for heaven's sakes. Change the channel if you don't like us.
That's it.
That's fantastic. That's so it. We look forward to speaking with you again. And,
thank you. Me too.
And everything is posted on the site. We're going to come back with Alan. Oh, man, I should have asked how he says his name. I think it's, I don't know what it is, G-U-E-L-Z-O. So somebody call and tell us how that's pronounced. But he's going to tell us why Americans are ignorant of our own history. And I'll let you know what we learn.
I'd love to know. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Ann.
Ann Vandersteel's been our guest with the American Made Foundation. She's terrific. You can find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us. Like that song, something very American about it. Okay, so our professor is missing. We've lost the professor. Hopefully he'll call us. Is it because I didn't know how to pronounce his last name?
He gave up on you.
Ruined it. So why are Americans ignorant of our own history? Coming to the airwaves near you at some point in time. But I'll give you his bio. just for a second here. So we already have that in the hopper. So he is the Thomas W. Smith Distinguished Research Scholar in the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions and the faculty member at Princeton University. He's also the co-author of a new textbook, The Golden Thread, A History of Western Tradition. It's a two-volume set, by the way. And it really, I mean, it does look incredibly interesting, but I really wanted him to tell me about it. So cross our fingers. He's an American intellectual historian, a noted media guest who's appeared on major radio and television programs nationwide. Yes, it will be We the People at some point, but he's also been on NPR, something called Morning Edition. And, he's been on Jon Stewart, The Daily Show. He's been on Morning Joe. Yeah. Maybe he found out who we are. He's like, they're wingers. I don't want to go on with them. The wingers are going to get me. He's a frequent contributor to the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Monthly. He's a three-time winner of the Lincoln Prize for his books on Abraham Lincoln and the American Civil War. His book, Gettysburg, The Last Invasion, spent 8 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. So he is no slouch. And you know, it's fun. I always go into the image, thing in, you know, Google when I look up things about our guests to build the webpage. And there was this terrific picture of him wearing a red tie. He looks just like Kelsey Grammer. And he has this really fun smirk on his face. And I was like, dying to know if he's really smirky or not. So I do hope he, pops on with us. So in the meantime, we are going to, chat with you momentarily about Prop 50, just in case you're still in the dark about Prop 50. I hope you're not, though.
I think a lot of people have a misconception of why we're doing this.
Oh,
you know,
that's true.
It's Trump. It's Texas. It's, you know, democracy. Maybe you can clear that up a little bit. Because the whole Texas thing was Texas didn't have a choice.
Texas didn't have a choice. There was a court action that involved representation, right? So it goes to court, and they said, well, you have to redraw your lines. They're not fair.
And was that because of all the new districts, or were the new districts as a result of the new lines?
Yes, all the way around, I think. Bottom line was they let's start at the beginning. So Texas does not have a constitutional amendment that determines when they draw lines. So if they wanted to draw lines every year, which would make no sense, but like let's say they went crazy and just were hooked on that, they could do that anytime they want. There is no constitutional amendment declaring when that takes place. California, on the other hand, is every 10 years after the census. That is a part of our constitution, our state constitution. The other thing in Texas is that they, Once they do this, they can be enacted. There's no citizen, and it's done by the legislature. It's not a citizens redistricting commission like California has. I don't think most people really, I don't know. I'm going to say a lot of people are not plugged into that idea, but California passed a constitutional amendment yet again back in, I want to say 2008.
A California
constitutional amendment that said that the lines are not drawn by the legislature because, well, what could go wrong, right? So many jokes, so little time. So they said, you know, these guys are drawing lines just to benefit themselves. This is crazy. We're going to have the citizens do it. So we passed an amendment that said that our lines are drawn. Our voting lines for congressional districts and assembly and state senate are drawn by the independent citizens redistricting commission. So every 10 years, you could apply for that, by the way. If you're a citizen of California, you could apply to be on that. It's a lot of work. Boy, I sat through a lot of those meetings back in, I want to say 2010, had to have been 2010. And it's complicated. It's a lot of work. The idea is that you try to keep communities together. So if you have a predominantly agricultural area, you don't connect it to San Francisco, like, say, the new lines for District 2 will be in California. So you try to keep people kind of together. You can't always divide by county. Sometimes people are across the street from each other and they're in different districts, so that's kind of a drag, but it's numbers. So you want all the districts to have the same population. If they don't, bottom line is you have one representative who has 1.5 million people and another guy who's got 500,000, who technically is getting better representation, obviously, mm-hmm. guy with the smaller district. So anyway, they...
So each district has to have...
Basically the same number yeah. of people. Okay. And so like in Northern California, for instance, our district lines changed pretty... They changed a lot, actually, this last round in 2020 because we had so many fires. We had fires that burned down whole towns. So you had large swaths of people who were displaced, and you had to find more people to add. So you had to, you know, move the line a little bit and add a volume of people to make up that difference. But in November of 2008, it was Proposition 11 called the Voters First Act that authorized the creation of the Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. That was supported by AARP, the Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce, League of Women Voters, former Governor Gray Davis, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, the ACLU, California Black Chamber of Commerce, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, NAACP, California Police Chiefs Association, California Forward, Pasadena City Council. So this was not a right-wing,
right.
weird idea. It was...
That's a lot of support.
Yeah. They just wanted lawmakers not to draw their own districts. So it was passed by 61.3% of the voters in 2010. And if you're curious about that, you can go to wedrawthelines.ca.gov. I have all this posted. Actually, you can go to ShastaGOP.com, click on Prop 50, and it has all of that information on there. So they decided, well, Texas, if they redraw these lines, is going to create, just based on population, likely 5 Republican seats. So the bad part was President Trump said, hey, that's great. And the Democratic Party in California, you know, led by Gavin Newsom, said, Trump is stealing elections. He's creating 5 Republican seats. We must respond. That wasn't even true.
Yeah, he just commented
on it. Holy cow,
didn't...
I'm just so totally blowing it.
I'm gonna do bad things, do it like it's nothing. Being bad has never felt so good. I'm gonna do bad things. You won't see it coming. Watch your step. I've been thinking of doing bad things to you.